This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's been a week now since that video of a manager at a telco screaming at her subordinates surfaced on social media. It made many people uncomfortable. Many felt strongly about the working conditions these employees had to suffer, while others shared their own versions of management horror stories. And that's just the thing. It's sad, but most of us have had first-hand exposure to an abusive leader, or at least know of an abusive leader. And according to Dr. Rozhan Othman from Human Capital Development, these leaders are called toilet paper leaders, because to such leaders, their subordinates are like toilet paper, to be used and thrown away. How do we deal with toilet paper leaders, and what can organizations do to prevent behavior like this from emerging? This is Resource Center with me, Audrey Raj, and on the show today is my favorite person from Human Capital, Dr. Rozhan Othman, who's about to tell us all about toilet paper leadership. All right, Prof, today's discussion, toilet paper leadership, I have to say, I've never heard of the term. It sounds somewhat provocative. What does toilet paper leadership mean? Okay. TPL, is there even a short form? And why are we discussing this today?
Okay, to begin with, before I can answer that question, I think we have to define exactly what leadership means in terms of how leaders exercise that leadership. Basically, at the core of every leadership process is relationship management, the relationship between the leader and the follower. And basically, there are four key pillars that keep that relationship functional and effective. One is what's called reciprocity, that people come into that relationship with the expectation, yes, they will perform, and the leader need to be able to reward them accordingly. That's to also, respect them, treat them with dignity. The second is fairness, in the sense that people generally enter into any relationship, into a working relationship especially, and expected to be treated fairly. They expected to be treated with dignity on matters like performance appraisal. They expect to be given their fair due. And the third element is basically trust. The product of that reciprocity and fairness is people start to develop a trusting relationship. And generally what happens with leadership is, as people develop a more trusting relationship, the nature of that reciprocity tend to also change. Mm. If you're coming to work, let's say, the first time, or you have someone who's new coming to work, and he or she comes to you and say, oh, sorry, I forgot my purse or wallet. I don't have money to pay for parking. I don't have money. Can I borrow from you 20 ringgit? You'd probably do it. Audrey Raj is a nice person, right? You'll probably lend them that 20 ringgit. But you will also expect that the next day when he comes to work, he will pay back that 20 ringgit. Yeah. I better not forget, I hardly know you. I'm helping you, then you should. But let's say your relationship with your family members, your siblings, for instance, that expectation and reciprocity is not immediate.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'll help you, no problem. But if I need your help later on, I hope you remember to sort of reciprocate. So the immediacy is less. And the equivalence today, just because I borrow you 20, I lend you 20 ringgit, doesn't mean later on, you have to only help me when I need 20 ringgit, I mean it 50 ringgit.
Correct.
So that happens when people develop a trusting relationship. So reciprocity, fairness, trust, and finally mutual support and collaboration. Now, toilet paper leaders are leaders who violate by ignoring one or more of these four foundations. Okay, in the sense that the relationship is characterized by exploitation and manipulation. The leader says that I'm the boss, you do what I tell you. You are supposed to fulfill my expectations, my agenda, my interest. So because of that, the relationship becomes very lopsided. There is low reciprocity. The leader can also be abrasive and abusive. So as a result, you tend to find that the violation of sense of fairness. And the moment you violate these two, then you will undermine trust and you undermine the ability to create a collaborative relationship. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you want to take toilet paper leadership as a continuum, on the one extreme, there is what I call the abusive, abrasive toilet paper leaders. You know, I'm sure we've all heard of leaders who will be shouting and using foul language against their employees, demanding everything from their employees. That's the one extreme. But there's also the other extreme, what I call the benign manipulative leaders. They can be actually very amiable, very nice, but their interest is just making sure that the subordinate serve their interest. The moment you are no longer in that relationship, or the moment the leader see that you no longer serve that, he or she is no longer interested in you. To them, it is all just about the follower submitting and following the behavior or the expectations of the leader. The only difference is one is more abrasive, the other is more benign, but the center of that relationship is the leader. It's not that reciprocity, it is not about fairness, it is not about cultivating trust and collaboration in the workplace. So as a result, that's when you will see that people who are stuck with that kind of a leader will feel work to be very dissatisfying, demotivating, and will find themselves sometimes suffering from depression as a result of that experience.
Prof, I have to say, I speak from experience, having worked for a leader who was abrasive and who was abusive, verbally abusive. I can attest to the fact that that motivated me to perform better. And I today credit my former boss for making me the efficient worker that I believe I am today. So it could prove to be a good tool as well, right? In a warped way, a fruitful leadership method.
I think it depends also on the personality of the followers. I'm sure not everyone who worked under him was able to cope under that leader. Some people probably just walk away on the second day or something like that. Some people may see that as a challenge. But there is also probably one part of the equation where the leader is also has a bit of that touch where he's willing to give you due recognition. And that's why you're willing to stay. And that's why if you're stuck in a relationship with a toilet paper leader, sometimes you don't have a choice of who's going to be your leader.
True.
So you have to basically ask yourself, how long do you want to be in that relationship? Now, in some organizations, you have a sense. You know, leaders are rotated. You know, they get promoted. So at most, you'll be stuck in this guy maybe 2 years, 3 years. If you think you can weather the storm, go ahead and stay. My advice to followers who are stuck in that leadership, you know, it may not be maximally satisfying, but ask yourself, how can you use that relationship productively? For instance, sometimes some of these leaders, they can be very abusive, abrasive, but they themselves may not necessarily be very competent. So as a result, they become dependent on the subordinate. Make use of that dependency. Seek the opportunities, for instance, if they ask you to develop a proposal, seek the opportunity to give the presentation in front of top management or the board, because that exposure will help you and your career advancement in the long term. Now, my answer basically tells you that that relationship is not so much reciprocal. It is more calculative.
Yeah.
Okay? I hate you, but if I can get something from you, I'll bear with you. Right? So it's going to be calculative. And I will respect you to the extent that I can still realize something from that relationship.
Prof, you mentioned earlier that some of these workers who have to work with toilet paper leaders, they might be unhappy, they might be depressed, they may be dissatisfied. What are some of the other impacts of toilet paper leadership?
The most apparent impact that I've seen, for instance, in organizations that go through this or amongst employees that go through this experience is they tend to shift the focus of their loyalty away from the leader. They may still comply and obey him, but their loyalty will start shifting. And if they think that the organization is also indifferent to what is happening, for instance, if they try to seek some remedy, HR doesn't do anything, the superiors, other superiors don't really care about the whole thing, what they will do is that they develop a sense of loyalty towards each other. It moves from loyalty to the leader to becomes more about loyalty to the peers.
It's like we become more of a team player.
Yeah, you become more a team player, but not necessarily in supporting the leader, sometimes to protect one another. Okay, so depending on the extent of dysfunctionality, sometimes they may also gang up to actually make things difficult for the leader. So you will see that the cohesiveness shifts away from the cohesiveness as the whole team and more towards their peers within the organization. And this was also something that I discovered, for instance, during downsizing. There's this phenomenon, for instance, we call psychological contract violation. Psychological contract is the expectation that people have when they enter into an employment relationship. And what happens is, when we look at their level of commitment after they see others being retrenched, even though they are the survivors, they remain within the organization. They become less loyal to the organization, less trusting to the organization, but more loyal and more trusting of their peers.
Hmm.
So they shift their energy. Now, that can be good for them, but not necessarily good for the organization.
And also, I guess, stokes office politics to greater heights.
Yes. Sometimes what you will see is that people, if the subordinates themselves are very political creatures, they will try to use that position or that environment either to their advantage, in the sense of becoming what is called colluders. In fact, this whole topic about toilet paper leadership is, I would say, is a subset of one general emerging area in the research on leadership, on toxic leadership.
Hmm.
So one of the things that keeps toxic leadership sustainable is the fact that there are always colluders, people who are willing to become part of the team. Because they see that they can also take advantage right on the leader and use that opportunity very much at the expense of the other peers in the organization.
We're about to take a quick break for some messages right now, but when we come back, how do we deal with toilet paper leaders? What can organizations do to prevent behavior like this from emerging? And can toilet paper leaders change? That's up next on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Bankers, financiers, and moneymakers. BFM 89.9.
Toilet paper leadership, that is what we're discussing on this episode of Resource Center. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today is Dr. Rozhan Othman from Human Capital Development. So it's been more than a week now since that video of a manager at a telco screaming at her subordinate's surface. We've all attested to how no one should have to work under those conditions. But the truth is, most of us know of abusive leaders who not only scream at their subordinates, but manipulate and mistreat them in other ways. And to such leaders, their subordinates are like toilet paper to be used and thrown away. Dr. Rozhan tells us more. So, Prof, would you say that people who practice toilet paper leadership. It's still difficult for me to say toilet paper leadership. Would you say that there is an element of narcissism? Is there a certain personality that become toilet paper leaders?
There is a combination of personality traits that can actually contribute towards a leader behaving in that manner. One is, of course, narcissism. The other possible reason why leaders behave in that manner is their own sense of insecurity.
Mm.
You know, they feel insecure in the sense that they are afraid that they are seen as a non-performer. And therefore, they want to make sure that they look good in front of their superiors. And the way they do that is by demanding high performance from their subordinates, because that will affect how they appear in front of their superiors. So it's a combination of these two things. Now, it's also very important to differentiate between toilet paper leaders and leaders who are just perhaps slightly more task-oriented, more instructive in the way they communicate with their followers. These are still leaders, but they are not necessarily abusive. Mm. They are not necessarily abrasive, and they are not necessarily manipulative. They can be very instructive in the way they work, very structured, very task-oriented. They may lack the personal touch in terms of their relationship with their followers. But they don't actually fall under the category of what we would call as toilet paper leaders.
U.S. President Donald Trump, he has come under great criticism for his leadership style and ways. Would you call him a toilet paper leader?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
I think even before he was he won the election, a number of psychiatrists and psychologists had basically made the statement that this guy is a classical narcissist. Mm. And if you look at his staff in the White House, so many of them have left. And some of them were the closest advisors, like Steve Bannon, for instance. And the moment they are out of that relationship with him, he will start attacking them, belittling them, saying the nastiest thing about them. Because to them, everything is about what you have to do to make me look good. So that can also be a reflection of both narcissism and, I would argue, also about his insecurity.
Mm.
Because I don't think he's comfortable dealing with foreign policy. I'm not so sure he understands defense policies. His success as a real estate developer might have taken him to that level of success, but that doesn't mean...
Even that is questionable.
Yeah, manipulation, not paying people, those are some of the things that have happened. So... And of course, the latest Stormy scandals says a lot more about him also.
Okay, so what can individual employees do when dealing with toilet paper leaders?
I think at the most fundamental level is to manage your own emotion.
Mm.
Because there is always a tendency to go back feeling depressed. You need to be able to detach yourself and to start. In a way, it's a bit like being a parent, dealing with children who are showing their tantrums, you know. You don't get emotional about it. You have to deal with it and objective in a detached manner. The moment you get emotional, you get sucked into the problem, you lose your perspective. So in order to maintain your own psychological health, you need to manage that very well. And I've seen some employees who were very good at that. I remember dealing with one secretary who had a very abrasive and abusive boss who would scold her in public and everything. But she's always able to maintain that composure because to her, that's just how she is, how her boss is, and she's not going to let that spoil her day. So it takes that ability to basically manage your own emotion. And that's very important because you're going to be stuck in that boss for the next 2 to 3 years, maybe 4 years. So you better know how to basically survive through all that. I sometimes joke with my wife, you know, when she feels sad seeing some of this melodramatic Korean drama. I say, it's just a movie. It's just a drama. Don't get sad. You know, that's about controlling your emotions. Second is to ask yourself, do you have a choice? You know, it's very important to recognize that at the end of the day, people can still make choices whether you want to remain in that relationship or you want to get out of that relationship. Third is, what is your aspiration? For some people, coming to work is just about earning a living, so they don't mind. They can bear with it, so it's okay. You know, that's why bad leaders will still continue to have followers, no matter what. For some people, they are not ambitious. They're not trying to go ahead. Their expectation is, as long as I get my salary at the end of the month,
it's fine.
That's basically
me.
Good enough. Mm. You know, what happens next? And usually, these are people who develop a certain aloofness from the leader and from the organization. It's just about purely self-interest. As I mentioned earlier, is to see whether you can use that relationship to your advantage, especially when leaders have certain blind spots, certain vulnerabilities. Mm. Being able to help him sometimes can give you the exposure and help you with your future career advancements.
Can organizations do anything to prevent behavior like this from emerging among its leaders?
Yeah, I think some organizations has had a good history of actually creating behavioral expectations where toxic behaviors or toilet paper leadership behaviors are not tolerated. One famous story that's often recounted in IBM, for instance, is about the history of the establishment of the company. The company was basically started by Thomas Watson. And what happened was, he had a bad relationship with his previous boss when he was working in another company. It was so bad that one day when he was on a sales call, the boss basically announced that he is fired.
Oh.
Okay. Not only that, he then instructed the other employees to throw out his table into the streets and then told them after that to burn the table.
Mm.
Okay. So Thomas Watson came back with the, after seeing the way he was treated, when he formed his own company, he was determined to make sure that nobody is treated that way. Mm. So that's why in IBM, one of the core values is about respect for the individuals. And they basically enforce that rigorously. I know of instances where in one case, one guy was assigned to an impossible market to sell computers. It actually happened in Malaysia. He was assigned, and this was in the 70s, mm-hmm. He was assigned the Kampung Baru market to sell computers.
Okay.
In those days, you're talking about mainframe computers. Who's going to buy mainframe computers in Kampung Baru? So he complained to the head office in the United States. So they sent someone to actually investigate the complaint.
Mm.
Okay. So what they did was, after finding that the complaint was true, they actually demoted his boss and the superior to the boss.
Oh, okay.
Both of them were demoted. And 2 years later, actually promoted him over his boss. So that sends a strong signal of how the company will not tolerate such behavior. The other extreme was a case of a bank, a local bank. I had this conversation with this vice president who was mentioning to me about a senior manager in her department who was very abrasive. Every meeting, you will see him using four-letter word, vulgar language and everything. And she was saying at one time, his superior would go to his office, went to his office and to discuss something that he didn't like. And he started screaming and shouting at her and using vulgar language. So I said, how can that happen? You know, isn't someone concerned enough to do something? Wouldn't HR intervene and, you know, put a stop to it? And he said, no, because somehow senior management thinks that he's a performer. He delivers results.
Mm.
Okay, so they're willing to actually tolerate his tantrums and all that because they think that he's delivering the result. So as a result, that becomes considered as an accepted behavior within that particular bank. And this is where organizations have to understand performance. When you're talking about delivering results, it's also about, it's not just strictly the financial KPIs. It's also about the quality of relationship, because these are the things that drive your ability to create performance, especially long-term performance.
Right.
And creating this whole thing, creating that healthy climate for that relationship that is based on fairness, trust, reciprocity and collaboration is very central in any attempt to build a functional and healthy leadership.
And just before we go, Prof, as the final question, can toilet paper leaders change? Is that possible?
Well, it is possible, but I would say it's not very probable. Unless there is the leader experience some kind of a traumatic experience that shakes his beliefs and assumptions. Especially in organizations that tend to tolerate them, if they get away in behaving in that manner in the early stages of their career, chances are that they will become embedded in their long-term behavior.
So a change in policy, something like this set in organization's policy, would not make a difference?
Not if they manage to rise to senior management. You see, the problem with companies is that sometimes, especially in the Eastern culture, we have policies, we have this, and when it comes to enforcing policy, we always have the kesian factor, pity, you know. We don't quite enforce, you know, or certain people are seen as being...
senior?
Too senior, and whatever they do or the way they behave, and no one really dares to actually put a stop to it. If organization wants to put a stop to it, it has to be even when they are showing signs of those behavior at the lower level. And top management must become the role model of how to behave in a just, in a trusting manner, in developing that healthy reciprocity with their subordinates.
I've been speaking with Dr. Rozhan Othman from Human Capital Development on toilet paper leadership. Now, if you miss any part of this show, you know what to do. Go visit our website, bfm.my, to look for the podcast. Or you can just download the BFM mobile app, available now on the Apple App Store and on Google Play, and let all your favorite podcasts come to you. My name is Audrey Raj, and on behalf of Dr. Rozhan from Human Capital Development, thank you for listening to Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.